Hell yeah, the revolution will never be televised. Turn off your television, asshole.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
No. The revolution will be broadcasted on Undertaker.com/Hengdong.com radio.
No, hell no.
Every time we're gonna, you know, carry out the revolution, and it will be, you know, broadcasted through Undertaker radio.
Confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary, the revolution will not be televised.
It will be televised through Alden Che Guevara Radio.
And will not star Natalie Wood,
broadcast.
And Steve McQueen,
broadcast.
Alden Che Guevara,
The revolution will not
so, do you want to listen to Alden Che Guevara Radio? Young San Action Radio?
I want to make it.
We are making it.
The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block.
The revolution will be manifested on the media.
NBC will not be
independent media. Alternative media.
There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process.
The revolution, an explosion
of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red.
What kind of revolution do you want?
That he has been saving for just the
all the time, all the forms.
How about you, G-Rap?
I want a revolution that never stops, never ends. A revolution that does not have a beginning or an ending. A revolution as a process, building freedom, equality, autonomy, and all the things that we need in life. And we're going to get it. We're going to do it ourselves. It's going to be a DIY, direct action revolution every day. Struggle News.
Yo, let's listen to this music.
Engelbert Humperdinck or the Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right.
Yeah, I thought revolution ain't like that, you know. In my opinion, revolution is like a one-shot deal, you know. You boom, it's like a violence, and it takes place, and you know, it ends right there, isn't it?
One-time explosion, and then we have reached revolution. Revolution has been attained, and but until it has, before it's been attained, we sit down and we wait for the revolution because the revolution is apocalyptic. It's an apocalypse. And we just have to sit down and wait for it and do nothing. Right?
I want to do something.
Revolution never stops. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Struggle News number 4. It is June 9th, 2009, and it is a Tuesday.
That's right. We are sitting here at the media center of Yongsan Massacre Site. So,
we're in the Candlelight Media Center. This is right behind the Namildang building, which was the site of the Yongsan disaster, which occurred on January 20th, and five comrades got killed by the police and the Korean SWAT team when the Korean SWAT team entered that place and attacked everybody and started a big old fire.
But still a very lively struggle site.
Mm-hmm.
With
yeah,
lots
that's
of
right.
people coming and going, arts. And
arts and festivals, and we're going to have some guerrilla gardening action.
Space.
Tomorrow. Yeah. It's a new space that we're building here. This is a place that we're going to have for at least another 7 months, 6 months, 5 months. It's not really sure, but it's a great thing that the Redevelopment Act has been sent to a constitutional court to be checked, you know, and they're going to debate and talk about it and see if it is unconstitutional or constitutional, and I hope it's unconstitutional so we can have this place forever.
It better be unconstitutional, and we're going to do everything we can to make it unconstitutional. Hi, yeah. I'm DJ Dope, and
hey,
I'm
DJ
sitting
Dope.
With two other DJs today.
Yeah, Teal. I'm Byun Teal.
Yeah, it's the first time that we are doing this radio show with Teal.
Yeah, and I'm Giraffe.
I just took the personally the call that I heard on the first broadcast of Be the Media, inviting anybody, everybody to come to the show, participate, and that what I did. That's what I did. That's why I'm here today. Just bring a little bit of my participation.
Yeah, but if you are a cop or you're working with the government, then I have a problem with you. So
yeah.
Please don't come by if you're a cop.
Yeah,
we'll smell you.
Or a capitalist.
Yeah, other than cops and capitalists, everybody's invited. Come here, participate, be part of the media, be the media. That's exactly what we're trying to do, and we really appreciate Tael's decision to come down here and take part in this radio show.
Let's give him a warm round of applause. Tael, woo! All right, what's the first news that you got right there?
All right, so, well, I'm going to go ahead and start reporting last week's news on the Struggle News Action Radio.
Yeah.
Last week, there was a bunch of professors from a lot of different universities who wrote manifestos of the state of affairs. And the first universities to do that was Seoul University, and also Korea University, not Korea University, Chung-ang University. So Seoul University and Chung-ang University both did it on the 3rd, and that was Wednesday. And these were, you know, a group of, there was 68 professors from Chung-ang University and 124 from Seoul University. I apologize if I'm leaving a university out that also did it on Wednesday the 3rd last week. I'm not exactly sure.
The names are not important.
There might have been some other universities that did it too, but anyway. They wrote a manifesto on the state of affairs denouncing the, Lee Myung-bak regime. And they were also criticizing the recent police crackdowns and police brutalities that have been happening, including that of the Yongsan disaster that happened on January 20th. They wrote in solidarity with the Yongsan struggle. They mentioned the Yongsan struggle and mentioned that the government needs to, hold these police responsible for murder. And they also criticized the KCTU, the crackdown on the KCTU and the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions demonstration and rally in Daejeon a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and the transportation and cargo workers, right?
Yeah. The cargo workers, that was when they announced their strike. They also made demands for freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and the right to have assemblies and demonstrations. And those are certainly, a handful of things that the current regime, Lee Myung-bak regime, is trying to restrict and limit and repress.
So why is it so important that you think that, we have all the professors from all, major, universities, issuing their, statement that, we have a problem with the current government?
Well, here in Korea, teachers, professors, and people who just work in the education system as educators, have a lot of respect, they get a lot of social respect, and, they are also expected to, fulfill a kind of, a social role in society, which is, the role of the intellectual and the teacher. And when they, criticize the government, professors have a certain kind of social privilege that, when they criticize the government, it has a lot more meaning.
Oh.
So, in the mainstream media or even in the ears of the government, the politicians and stuff would consider it more meaningful and more important.
And this time, this declaration they made, how meaningful is it? I mean, is it something that they do every year, every time, or it's kind of exceptional?
I couldn't be sure about that. I've been in Korea for about 2 years, and this is the first time that I've heard about it.
I'm an expert on that matter.
Yeah, are
the
you?
The last time that the professors nationwide, issued statement like that was the about 20 years ago, 1987, the year of the pro-democracy movement.
Yeah, that was the last time that it happened. So, that's been quite a long time.
So the professors are saying that, the Korean society is going backwards. You know, they have, yeah. they feel like, you know, we've been, you know, like going back to the fascist military dictatorship era.
So, yeah. Yeah. And that shows us that progress is not linear. Not historic. It doesn't follow historical linearity.
Are you a philosopher or some shit like that?
No.
Okay. I am.
Fuck academia. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So on the 8th, and that was yesterday, on the 8th, uh-huh. there was another whole bunch of universities, including Korea University, Sungkyunkwan University, Hanshin University, Yonsei University, Kyunghee University, Kyungkook University, Dongguk University, Sungsil University, Bangsung University, Busan University, Kyungnam University, Gangwon University, Inha University, Jongbuk University, Changwon University,
can
professors.
You stop there? Let's listen to a music.
Wait, one moment. Just let me finish up the story. All these professors from all these universities, wrote manifestos, and I don't have, you know, all the manifestos are unique and they have their own statements in there. However, you know, they're all denouncing the Lee Myung-bak regime and calling for, you know, protection of human rights and these kind of, you know, general statements in their in their manifestos, if I'm allowed to generalize those. At least more than 1,200 professors participated in writing these manifestos in opposition to the Lee Myung-bak regime, and in solidarity with those of us who are resisting this hegemony of the Lee Myung-bak regime. And that's a great thing, you know. I am really glad to hear that these professors are doing this and helping us out and using their social privileges, even though, you know, social privileges are something that we got to deconstruct and rip apart, and you know.
That's still an interesting fact to observe.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Yo, I'm go ahead and play the music.
All right, we're gonna listen to.
You know, still talk about it while the music is on.
Well, we're gonna listen to Prince. The song is called "Dear Mr. Man" by Prince.
You better listen to this radio, Lee Myung-bak.
Groove is good for constipation.
Yeah, I wanna smoke some weed.
With the world today, things just got to get better.
Lay some smooching.
Show me.
Hell yeah.
Come to the radio.
Maybe we should write a letter.
Do your thing in the radio. We're all gonna do it.
You just ruined this music, I say.
Here, let's do the radio.
You're fucking up the music, I say.
That's what music is for.
Fuck it up, fuck it.
Pump it up.
That to kill is a sin. Started every single war.
Come to the Chobo Media Center, get some coffee.
Yeah, Shinyoungsan Station Exit 2.
Best drug in town.
We got a new cafe here in our Candlelight Media Center that needs to be announced. We're making coffee and serving it and sharing it.
We're gonna open a 24-hour all-night dance floor, right? You know what I'm saying?
And good jajangmyeon, or jajang.
Got a right to moan. How about this big old hole in the ozone? What's wrong with the world today?
Yeah, I'm tired of this fucking war.
Things just got to get better.
You don't understand.
Maybe we should write a letter.
I understand that we need to overthrow Mr. Man.
Yeah. You're the man, Giraffe. You're the man.
Overthrow the man in you.
Hey, you big one too. You got something to say?
Ain't no sense in voting.
same song with a different name.
That's right, there is no sense in voting. Get out of that voting politics that 2PO Jiangqi is meaningless.
Don't never vote. Overthrow the whole system.
Lo Mi-hyun died. Lo Mi-hyun committed suicide. Do you care, dope?
I don't give a fuck about his death. Hey, Lee Myung-bak, you better follow your, you know, ancestor.
Yeah. Lo Mi-hyun should have held Lee Myung-bak's hand, and they should have both committed suicide.
I'm gonna make you commit a suicide, Lee Myung-bak. That's a promise.
I would be committing suicide if I was Lee Myung-bak right now.
All right. What's the second news that you got right there, DJ G-Ref?
All right. What's going on is, speaking of Lee Myung-bak.
Oh, man. I hate speaking of him.
So last week.
He's so popular on this show.
Thursday last week on June 4th, Lee Myung-bak. Myung-bak had a meeting with some religious leaders.
Can we talk about something else?
A group
it
of
makes
a,
me, you know, sick to my stomach every time I hear about his friggin' name.
Oh, come on, just drink some water and, you know, hold it in for a moment there.
All right.
He had a meeting with these religious leaders, you know, the top religious leaders from, you know, they're all hierarchically organized, authoritarian organizations. And the religious leaders came and met with Lee Myung-bak, and they do this periodically, meet up with the leader of the government. And
don't make shit up, you know. They don't do that shit, you know, the meeting periodically. I didn't tell you that shit yesterday.
Oh, they do, though. I've read it in the news before. They usually meet up with the president, you know, on certain occasions.
Okay.
Remember, it happened just last year.
So anyway,
also,
this time he had a meeting with the 8 major religious leaders.
Yeah, and the Catholic bishop did us a little bit of a favor, a little bit of a small favor.
What was it?
The Catholic bishop mentioned that police and corporate thugs forcefully evicted people and started building a fence around a building right here next to the Candlelight Media Center in order to destroy the building and build some kind of corporate building, which they're planning to do later if this redevelopment act is found to be constitutional by the constitutional courts. But that happened on Friday, June 29th. There was a whole bunch of thugs and police who came here in the morning at 7 o'clock. And the police and thugs used brutal violence against a few Catholic priests who are here, our comrade Catholic priests.
Yeah.
And two of them, and they were thrown around and tossed around by these thugs.
Yeah,
and
basically
injured.
Everyone, you know, there was beat up by the thugs.
Yeah, and if you want to see that, you can go on to a website called Voice of the People. It's vop.org, I think, or vop.
Yeah, just go to Yongsan something. Coalition website.
Yeah,
which is at nbout.jimbo.net.
Yeah, you can go there too and watch the video of what happened. It's all in Korean though, so you know you'll just kind of like fish your way through that, and you'll end up finding it if you.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm gonna post that article on Korea Indie Media too. So go to korea.indiemedia.org.
So anyway, this Catholic bishop mentioned that. And, you know, was talking about that with Lee Myung-bak. And guess what that motherfucker did, Lee Myung-bak?
Yeah.
He apologized.
Yeah, because the fucker didn't know that he was coming, you know. Like, Lee Myung-bak was like, oh, really? I didn't have any idea that kind of thing happened.
Yeah, he said he didn't know about the incident. And he said, oh, I didn't know about that. Whoa, sorry. You know, he's going to have to do a lot more than that.
Of course, he better come down here and kneel down and, you know, he got to bow down and apologize.
And sacrifice himself with a sword in front of us.
If he doesn't do it, I'm going to see to it that he do it. If he doesn't do it, I'm going to do it myself. to the belly of the fucker.
All right, well, on the same day, on Thursday, June 4th, when these elite religious leaders and the president were meeting with each other, there was some other people who were doing some things. That was the five wives, relatives of the five comrades who were killed by the Korea SWAT team on January 20th, what is known as the Yongsan disaster.
Yeah.
They went to the prosecutor's office in Seolcheo-dong. Currently the government is trying to charge a large group of people who are occupying that building with the people, you know, who died with our comrades, and you know, these national evictee organization activists. And they were occupying that building, the Namuldang building, and a large group of them were arrested. How many of them are being charged right now, prosecuted?
About 20 people.
Yeah, there's 20 some people who are being prosecuted by these prosecutors. And just a few weeks ago, we actually told you about the investigation report, which is 3,000 pages that they produced a 10,000 page investigation report. And, you know, 10,000 pages of documents of investigation of the Yongsan disaster, this tragedy. And, they are supposed to share the whole 10,000 pages with the defense team, but they are hiding 3,000 pages of it, which, you know, includes information that they don't want the defense team to have access to. So they're trying to keep that information away from the defense team. The five wives of these five comrades, they went down to the prosecutor's office in Seolcheo-dong and
to meet the attorney general.
Yeah, you know. They went there to meet the attorney general, and they were told at the front gate upon arrival that the attorney general is not there. There's nobody available for them to talk with.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
So eventually they succeeded in entering the prosecution office, and they found that the attorney general was on the third floor of the office building. So that attorney general was actually there the whole time. And when they went up to go, they went into the elevator to go up to the third floor, and when they were going up, the elevator suddenly stopped and started going down to the basement. In the elevator, they were going up to the third floor, the elevator just all of a sudden stops and then starts going down, although it goes all the way down to the basement. And there were some officials, some people who work in that office, some prosecution officials who were down there. And when they got to the basement, the prosecution officials told them that they have to wait. And they were locked in there in that basement for several hours until 1 p.m. And at 1 p.m., the officials let them go to the waiting room. They said, you know, come to the waiting room and file an application to meet with a prosecutor. So they didn't say, you know, you're going to be able to meet with the attorney general or any specific prosecutor, but just a prosecutor, some random prosecutor that they're going to choose for them.
I'm curious about is their bold action gave some result, the fact that they were so insisting.
Yeah. Well, they weren't offering much, these prosecution officials. They weren't offering much. They were telling them to fill out an application and wait in the waiting room, which who knows how long they would wait. And they were given an opportunity to talk to some prosecutor, you know, not the attorney general. So, you know, that they were very skeptical about that. So they ended up leaving the waiting room and going to the front of the building and sitting in, having a small sit-in demonstration, demanding that the prosecutor's investigation report, the full 3,000 pages be made available to the defense team. And the cops came and arrested everyone who was there, including the five wives and a few other activists, comrades.
Again?
Yeah.
That took place again?
Yeah, that took place again during the arrest. One woman was beaten until she passed out, and she was taken to the hospital.
Oh, no more horrible news, please.
Yeah, and yeah, there's a video of that also on nbout.jinbo.net. You can see how brutal these prosecution officials and police are in treating elderly women in Korea.
So every time we see those five women, they wear, you know, black Korean traditional suit. What is up with that?
They are the family members of the our comrades who died.
Yes,
who
yes.
got killed, who got murdered by the police.
Yes. Morning.
So why
clothes.
Are they wearing the black, you know, suit clothes?
Traditional morning.
Morning.
Oh, I see.
Like funeral.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So if you come down to Yongsan site, you can see them every day.
Yeah, you can identify easily.
Yeah. Okay, let's listen to a song by Big L called Fed Up With The Bullshit.
Because that is exactly what we're fed up with. These police is bullshit. Doesn't end.
Hell yeah, I'm fed up with the bullshit.
Motherfuck the whole system. Cause I'm fed up with that bullshit.
Yeah, I'm about to flip too. Because I'm fed up with the bullshit too. I'm tired of that bullshit. Sick of that bullshit.
Whether it's the hot, warm, cool, or the cold season, pigs be fucking with a nigga for no reason. You just getting home from work and gotta get searched and treated like dirt by a fucking jerk. Niggas in the streets.
Hey, yo, Jelly, what you doing over there?
I'm reading an article about what happened last week. It's really awful.
Yeah, some bullshit happened.
So fed with the punk ass cab drivers who
yeah,
don't stop.
Smoke.
They don't care if the snow
first.
They slow down, then they see your skin is brown. Then they keep going, cause I wasn't white. The cab took flight, but I caught him at the light and put a bullet right through his windpipe. I keep a two with a full clip. The trigger I pull quick, cause I'm fed up with that
bullshit.
I'm fed up with that bullshit.
All right. Well, you want to hear about some bullshit that happened last weekend?
No, I don't want to hear any more bullshit. Right. We've been talking about bullshit too much already.
All right. Well, you got to hear it.
Because it's a struggle news. It's not bullshit.
All right. Well, here is some non-bullshit news. The Human Rights Film Festival was held in Cheonggye Plaza.
I wanted to go there and see some films.
Yeah, that was last weekend from Friday until Sunday.
Did you go there?
And
no, I didn't.
Oh, he didn't.
Yeah, well, here is the
I wasn't
bullshit.
In Seoul.
Here's the bullshit part. I'm sorry, I got to get to this. The festival organizers applied to use the Cheonggye Plaza. They applied to the Seoul Metropolitan Government, and that was in January 2008 when they applied. The
2009 this year. Not 2008. January 2009.
Oopsie, January 2009. I'm tripping. All right.
You are tripping.
All right. So they received permission, official permission from the Seoul Metropolitan Government to use the Cheonggye Plaza for the Human Rights Film Festival. And on June 3rd last week, that was June 3rd on Wednesday, a formal document was sent to the preparation team of the Human Rights Film Festival from the Seoul Metropolitan Government. And that document stated that the permit has been canceled because the government feared that there would be demonstrations or riots and that sort of thing.
Why?
They said that the permission denied? Yeah, they denied, canceled.
They canceled?
Canceled the permission, which was already given months before. Some 5 months before, at least.
That's really bullshit.
Yeah, that is some real bullshit that we're fed up with. That is not something that I want to hear about, but I got to tell you about it. I'm sorry to put poison in your ears.
No, that's not surprising anymore because that's what a government is supposed to do, you know?
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Anyway, they stated that was canceled. They said that they thought it would be dangerous. It would be a dangerous event. So on June 4th, the preparation team launched a nationwide outreach campaign in response to this.
Of course.
A lot of people responded in solidarity with the Human Rights Film Festival and the preparation team. And a lot of letters were sent to the Seoul Metropolitan Government.
I wrote a letter too.
They also wrote a petition to the government. Many people signed that petition. And, I mean, this happened within one day. Late at night on Thursday, June 4th, the Seoul Metropolitan Government had no choice. I mean, they received so many letters and there was so much solidarity being shown.
That's ridiculous, you know.
A lot of support.
They canceled the permission of the Human Rights Film Festival just because they have this fear of having a massive, you know, riot on the street.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
I mean, this is about human rights, you know, and it's a film festival. You know, this government is being so oppressive and it's such a dictatorship and, you know, they're causing so many problems for people in this country that, you know, if there's a human rights film festival, the government is afraid that people are going to blow up and have a riot because.
Which wouldn't be bad.
Yeah. I mean, people are fed up with this bullshit, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what's going to happen if they don't stop, trying to create a fascist regime here and a fascist system. And so. Anyway, the Human Rights Film Festival was a success. On the opening day, Friday, June 5th, the preparation team actually arrived around the plaza around 6 a.m. and police had blockaded the plaza area. And the preparation team showed them the permit that they received through fax from the Seoul Metropolitan Government. And the police looked at that permit and said,
We don't know about it.
The
police said we didn't, receive any orders from the police.
They didn't receive any orders from their leaders. So, basically around 9 o'clock, they moved out of the way finally. Sorry. They finally moved out of the way. And that's because
the chief police commissioner called them.
They called them and told them to get the fuck out. Get out of the way. They have permission to do it. So the film festival was very much well attended for 3 days, and it was a success.
Yeah,
on Friday, the opening film, the first film that was shown, was a film about redevelopment and the Yongsan disaster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you seen that film?
Yeah, we showed it at an Indie Media Film Fest.
Wow.
Some 3 months ago, maybe.
How did it go?
Oh, it was great.
So. Did you like the film?
Yeah, it was a great film. It was about redevelopment all throughout Korea and historically analyzing and, showing the redevelopment of the Seoul Metropolitan Government's redevelopment program. And they showed redevelopment in Hukseok-dong, kind of near Chungang University and all other places in Seoul.
Okay.
On Sunday, June 7th, that was the last day of the film festival.
Yeah.
Some politicians from the Democratic Labor Party and they came to the sit-in location, the location of the sit-in struggle.
That's another news. Can we just stop and listen to the music and, you know?
Oh, just one moment. To the news? Okay. This is a really, really short news report here. Just some politicians, some elite, you know, politicians came to the sit-in location from the Democratic Labor Party and in Yongsan at the Namildang building. And the politicians talked with the family members of the people who were murdered by the Korea SWAT team and people who are engaging in the sit-in struggle, or comrades from the National Evictee Alliance. And the politicians, you know, talk with these people, engage in communication, you know, did a bunch of lip service, and they promised to do everything that they could, everything that's possible in order to help the Yongsan struggle. And the politicians, this is actually something that is in specific reference to this month, June. In June, the National Assembly is going to have a session, and they're going to try to pass a whole bunch of laws, and you know, maybe the Democratic Labor Party, or I don't know, something, some people who are going to maybe try to help us out. Hopefully, they're going to try to stop a lot of these laws from being passed, including a new redevelopment law and a law that's going to be banning demonstrations in urban areas, and et cetera, et cetera.
Just hold up. It's not the Democratic Labor Party that came, you know, to the Yongsan site on Sunday. It's Democratic Party.
Oh, oopsie. It was actually the Democratic Party then. I'm sorry about that. It wasn't the Democratic Labor Party. But, yeah, sorry about that. Okay, well, you know, basically they just talked a bunch. They didn't make any specific promises. They just said that they were going to help out the Yongsan struggle in the National Assembly session in June, whenever they're going to have that. There is no specific date set for when that's going to start. Right now we're going to listen to a song by the Asian Dub Foundation.
This song is called NASA Light. We're not gonna stop fighting until we take the land. The whole Yongsan area is ours.
Brothers and sisters of the soul, unite. We are one in the vision for one strong. They may try to break us, but they may not underestimate us. They know our memories are longer. I said the past are sleeping villages. That's how they're pitching it. That's what they try to pretend. But check out our history, so we turn revolution with your prophecy that we will rise again. That we will rise again. Again and again, to the land of sours. Again and again, until we have taken the power. Again and again, to the land of sours. Cities of home, it's the underground. Because I am Mr. Jackson, I'm a warrior. I'm fighting for survival, and I'm gonna see ya. But it's my beauty, don't be my brother, I'm a brother. My mother, why you come and live this reality? Then we will rise again.
Yeah, then we will rise again. All the farmers of the world, unite! Compañeros! Campesinas! Campesinos! Again and again, until we're taking the power. Again and again, until the land is ours. The capitalists have taken the land away from us, but we're gonna keep fighting until we take the land back.
Tomorrow, guerrilla gardening.
But we'll take it in another form.
Wednesday, June 10th, 2009, in Yongsan, Seoul, South Korea. This song is about farmers in India who fought against the British Empire, you know, the aggression that came and, you know, took over all the land from the Indian farmers back in 19th century. Take all the power. It's not the dog's land. It's not the large corporation's land that we're gonna do the guerrilla farming on. It's gonna be our land. Isn't it? The land is ours. What language is this?
The land, the basis of life, communal life.
That's right. And we are the Yongshan warriors.
The land is everybody's. We can't let these big corporations try to take it and keep it for themselves and
Never.
Establish a monopoly over the land. Nope. The land is not a shopping mall. The land is not a resource. The land is not capital. The land is our means of survival.
And the land is alive. We are part of the land.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why we're going to do the guerrilla farming tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that in just a little bit later, giving more details on that. But first...
Yeah.
On Monday, June 8th, what happened yesterday was, just a few weeks ago. Oh.
Well, maybe, yeah, that ties in talking about land.
Yeah.
I have a little comment prepared.
Stop
your news and.
Yeah, talking about land, you know, we are just on the topic of land, and our friend and guest and comrade here, Te'al has a little bit to say about this.
Yeah. I'm not here to bring a special factual report, but more a kind of try to draw a big picture, taking things I've seen here and there. Hopefully, this travel I've been doing can be helpful for other travelers in this world. I want to talk about what I see in terms of land use, and mostly I think it's important to raise some question and have some path of reflection. I think our vision is one of our tool. As sharp as our vision, we can pierce through and create new opportunities. So I think it's important to remember what we are fighting for. And so here I want to ask a few questions about the meaning of development, because all this Yongshan issue is about redevelopment. And when we hear about development, sometimes there's all that discourse of, oh, well, that's inevitable. That's just the way history is going. We cannot stop this progress, or that's just the way it goes. So I want to question what is really inevitable. One of the first thing I've noticed, not the first thing, but sprang to my eyes as a foreigner traveling across this country, is the big difference between Seoul and the countryside. I don't know if you've got a chance. You've got to see outside Seoul, because it's a different world.
Totally.
you can see that there is a kind of centralization of political and economic power based on Seoul. And, well, there's
it's a
also...
monopoly, yeah. Everything is gathered in around Seoul.
And, yeah. Well, there's great things in a big city like Seoul, but you can also maybe notice a big difference in, you could say, the natural environment, the air quality that just strikes me.
Hold on a minute, say, first, you know, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, where are you from? You're from the country, right? You know, tell us about, you know.
Yeah, I'm from a little city on Turtle Island. I've been here in Korea for a few years, and
I'm talking about
recently. I've been living in Jeolla province. Just moved there to start some subsistence farming.
Wow, that's great.
And see what kind of community and what kind of life I could build there. I'm looking for autonomy and a good environment. I just had a little baby come to me and my partner.
Wow, you're married.
Yeah, yeah. And
wow, you have a little baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And
baby boy or baby girl?
It's baby girl.
Okay.
If that matters. But now... Like, of course, something that became important for us is how to provide a good environment for this life, for this new baby, for us too. And so leaving Seoul, of course, we found a lot of more fresh air, fresh water. But that's as somebody who wants a good future for me and my children, the question is, should I try to make the city a better place or should I quit it? It's a question I'm confronted with. And I want to right now just compare a bit the situation in the countryside and see what this can tell us about development in the city. And when I'm talking about like making the city better or going back to the land, well, what is the government doing either to support either or to hinder either of these things? And if not the government, who is best placed to manage this land use, this movement of population? These are important questions, I think.
I've got a small question. It might not be very important, but how could we make the city a better place, in your opinion?
That's exactly what I'll talk about in a moment. I'll first talk what I've seen the countryside, and that just ties in what I'd see for the city. Something that is striking also in Korean countryside is there's a kind of imbalance, demographic imbalance. Like it has become very difficult to earn a living for farmers in Korea. That's something people might say, oh, that's inevitable. That's industrialization, capitalism, specialization. Of course, farming will become mechanized and it will be the job of unskilled poor people. But I think that's something that should be reconsidered because, look at all these food issues and look at what's the quality of life that's being created by all this specialization. And so what happened, I don't know, I don't totally understand why, but in the countryside, young women have mostly left. I think it's something like patriarchy and the passing of property to the eldest son that made mostly young male stay in the countryside and women leave in larger proportion. So there's that kind of imbalance and also a lot of elder people. The population is very aging in the countryside. So that creates some kind of, you could say, opportunity or pull. And two phenomena I see arising from that is... there is a migration of young women from neighboring countries in Southeast Asia. And another phenomena I talk about is this back to the land, Gyinongja movement.
Wait, one moment. There's just one thing I wanted to add about that. The population of women who are coming from Southeast Asia are a lot of times, you know, they are referred to as marriage migrants. And what is going on with that is that a lot of these male farmers who are, farming is very much, it's kind of taking on a traditional form and very much wrapped up in that sort of traditional form of patriarchy. I'm not saying that the city has anything that's not patriarchal. I'm saying that the it's more of a traditional form of patriarchy and something that's very, a lot more tied to like traditional Confucian ideas of patriarchy.
Yeah,
and
but still, it's difficult to understand the culture, the rural culture in Korea for us as foreigner. I mean,
yeah.
We're pretty much from urban culture, and that's, well, that's a whole other topic, like these migrant women. And the question I want to raise about that is...
That's a totally different issue that you raise right there.
Yeah,
man.
But anyway, there's a lot of marriage companies. They're called international marriage.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Is like
it's a human trafficking kind of.
What
you
have to understand is there's that demographic imbalance or this kind of situation in the countryside versus the city, and who's the best place to organize the land use? Is it the government? Is it the business, or is it something else? Like you could say. Organic civil society. Well, look at what happened, exactly what you're mentioning with these women from Southeast Asia. A lot of their migration is organized through businesses that organize international marriage.
And the way that works
and
is
that
the,
package it. Yeah, the problem is that it's it becomes a commodity and that simplify things too much because these are people that have to come and they are not simply a product being sold. But
just to give the audience, the listeners, a little bit of background information on this, these international marriage corporations will usually market through the internet. They also market in on the streets. You know, they have like advertisements and that sort of thing. And Korean men who want to purchase a wife basically pay a fee to this corporation and then choose between a group of women who they want to marry. They choose someone who they choose a wife and select a wife a lot of times just based on, you know, okay. And so that's what's going on.
So that's an example of like what's happening when it's about it's business that gets involved in like organizing the movement of people. But we see sometime, well, in the Back to the Land movement in Korea, which is kind of getting important, and the government, central government, is starting to pay some I don't know if it's only lip service, but they'll say they'll support some people who want to move back to the countryside. But for me, that's an example. I've seen example of government policies to support that, but they are not realist because they are not grassroots organized. It's not, for example, the government, central government offers some money and they say build a house for people in the city who wants to come and experience life in the countryside, but their budget and the condition they imposed are not realist. So, I mean, that's a problem with top-down programs. But on the other side, if we say, okay, it's not a public matter, we just have to let it laissez-faire, let the market deal with where people will live, whether in the countryside or in the city, we've got big problem of speculation because who can move to the countryside? Well, sometimes it's retired people. And
It seems like you have so much to talk about. So how about, you know, listening to music and then, you know, let's,
concluding?
Yeah.
Okay, let's conclude. Well, what I want to talk about here is when you have people who move to a new area, there's class issues that that are raised. Who can move back there? And how are these people going to make a living? And how are they integrated with the local community? Are they isolated like migrant women, or are they kind of just living very individually like some retired people that would move to the countryside? So, importance of community grassroots organic growth.
Yeah, I'm actually from the country in my home country. I'm from the country, and I know that there's a lot of middle class people who come from the city, what we tend to call yuppies, and they move out to our country, our land, and basically live a yuppie life out there in the country. And yeah, that's one thing that, you know, it creates cultural tensions, that's for sure. Chumbawamba, Chumbawamba, mouth full of shit. Let's listen to it. Welcome back to Struggle News, and we're going to continue our discussion with Bionte Al from the country. And I just wanted to let everybody know that this is what you can do. You can come here, tell us about what's going on in your life and how you're feeling about what's going on.
Let me try to explain why this happening in the countryside is related to what's happening here in Yongsan, mm-hmm. what's happening in the city.
Yeah,
like the point I was trying to...
Everything is related.
Of course. Mm. What I was trying to say is in the countryside, if you don't want like class division or a kind of confrontation or division of people, because you don't want only like retired people from the city, people who can afford. You don't want just them moving to the countryside and buying the land and having all the land price increase. The problem is, where are the people able to make a living? Like, that's why there has been exodus from the countryside. People cannot earn a living there. I think these people who are moving back, they have to invent new ways to make a living. And one way to do it is by cooperation, by maybe non-capitalistic, you could say barter or self-help. And that's something I've found very heartwarming in my neighborhood. People have come to us and said, well, you have a young baby, we want to support you, and we know that something important is that as parents, you'd have to be able to spend time with your children even as you earn a living.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same thing to have a job and to have a good job. Like, a good job for me includes something you can do with your family and with your friends, and something that is meaningful. And that's something we should look for development.
Mutual aid and cooperation is, you know, that's how we humans do it. We got to do it that way. And I'm wondering if the city has fostered, you know, and like created a certain way of life that, you know, divides us.
Yeah, that's the problem when we have divided, like, okay, the kids go to school, they're educated there, and the parents work in the workplace. The kids and the parents, when they are together, that's education. That's where all people are growing. So, okay, let's see what's happening in Seoul. When there is some development, something that strike my eye is this Lee Myung-bak government is having a kind of green image by projects like the Cheonggyecheon. People will see, oh, that's nice, a park in the middle of city, it's green. That's happening around Yeouido now. They are building a large park around Yeouido. And here in Yongsan, it's also presented as a green project. It will be a park. But what's the difference between that park and a living environment is that it has no wilderness, or I don't know how to describe that thing missing, but if you have a park in the city where everything is ruled and controlled, you have nothing that will spring out of it. I mean, it has to have some wilderness, and it has to be something appropriated by the residents. If you have a park and all the people coming to the park come from a far neighbor, they'll come and, well, they want some food. They can't go back home. They'll have to go to the restaurant that's nearby. But if the price of the land is so expensive that the only one who can manage a restaurant are a corporation, basically by building this park, you're subsidizing all the corporations that are having land around the park. So instead of that kind of bulldozer, like destroy everything, make a park, and subsidizing all the landowner beside, I'm saying it's like, if you want economic life that works for the people, you need to think on organic growth. You need to think of something like, if you want a forest to grow, you don't cut it down and plant some trees. You work with what's there and you try to help what's going there. So I think that's something we can see in Yongsan and many popular neighbor in Seoul, is that there has been a economic life, small businesses going on, and this is the meaningful economic growth that has to be supported, not like raised, like bulldozed and start to seed something else. That's what's already there that needs to be supported. And what I see great here in this struggle is when people like here are having a struggle, that creates community. And hopefully we don't need that kind of hardship to start organized for independence and political autonomy.
Yeah, and there's one thing that you were just talking about, you know, about how even though, you know, they plant a few trees here and there and make a park and such whatnot, it's controlled and it's regulated by this system of power. And one thing that I've actually heard about, you know, here in Korea, some of the green anarchists actually some of them call themselves environmental anarchists, but there are some who are against the use of the word environmental anarchism, but they say ecological anarchism or ecology anarchism. And the difference between environmental anarchism and ecology, discursive in, you know, talking about discourse and what these words mean, is that 환경 in environments in Korean You know, it refers to, it's basically, you can translate it directly into English, it means environment. And it's something that we are surrounded by. We are not a part of it. It's something external to us. And we are surrounded by it. It is our environment. It is the thing outside of us. It is not something that we are part of. Whereas ecology is something that internally, you know, humans are internal to it. We are part of it. We interact with it. And it is something that includes us. And that is one thing that, you know, in terms of the environmental movement, ecological movement, or, you know, a lot of people tend to prefer the word ecology or ecological movement here in Korea for that reason. And I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's a vision we can have. We need to look for how does this ecology grows, like what are the grassroots, not top down, like what are the kind of organization that can promote the growth of community, that can promote a kind of social ecology. And there are many examples, they're varied, and I think here is an example of a community growing in this struggle, and there are many others.
Great. Check it out. Thanks a lot, Teal, for telling us about that. We'd like to actually hear a lot more from what's going on in the country here in Korea. So, you know, people from the country, please come here, you know, if you get the chance, and let us know what's going on. Right now we're going to hear about Spanish Bombs by The Clash.
Benito, yes, the quella, oh my god, I thought
Spanish bombs,
yes, the quiero is Benito, yes, the quella, oh my god, I thought
Spanish
weeks in my disco casino.
Man, joke,
hey? Fighters died up on the hill.
They sang the red flag.
They wore the black one after they died in Bud Mockingbird Hill. Back from the buses, went up in flashes, the Irish too.
Drenched in blood, come to the radio and participate. This is participatory media for everybody.
I wanna drop some bomb on the Blue House.
Action Radio, come do it.
And sort your idea while you're speaking.
And you can hear the protest song playing outside on the street.
You can do whatever you want.
The hillsides ring with the people.
Don't wait for the revolution. It's not apocalyptic. Do it now.
Make your own revolution.
I'm not going to do it for you,
but I'll do it with you.
Yeah.
We are not politicians. We are activists, god damn it.
Candido. Yes, the quera, oh my god, it's all
Spanish bombs.
Yes, the quera, it's bonito.
What's this song about?
Yes, the quera, oh my god, it's all.
It's about bombs falling in the Spanish Civil War in 1936. That was when Catalonia was a place that people were taken. You gotta have the land, it is our land. All right. Back to Struggle News. Hello, everybody. And just to let you know, just to give you a reminder, it is Tuesday, June 9th. Woo! All right. What happened yesterday?
You're listening to the Tujeng Hengdonghan Radio.
Yeah. 언론 체크바 행동하는 라디오 만세.
행동하는 라디오
요즘 Radio. All right. Monday, yesterday, June 8th. What happened? All right, I'll tell you what happened. The Cargo Transportation Workers Union, that is the KCTW, held a press conference at the KCTU, Korean Confederation of Trade Unions office in Yeongdong-po.
Yeah, headquarters.
That was the headquarters there yesterday in Yeongdong-po. And they said that they are completely refusing the current working conditions for transportation workers. They're not going to accept these working conditions that they have to, you know, that these capitalists are forcing them to work under.
Slaves.
So these transportation workers are announcing that they're going on strike, and that is 1,000 transportation worker union officials. These 1,000 union officials began the strike yesterday on June 8th. So that started yesterday, and the KCTWU, these union officials, announced that only until the 10th, that is until tomorrow, Wednesday, the June 10th, they will be waiting and hoping for open communication with these capitalists and the government in order to resolve this pending issue, this problem. And the Korean government's Ministry of Labor announced that if the KCTU doesn't withdraw from their action and cancel and basically dissolve the whole organization, that is the Hwalmul Hyundai, they actually are calling this organization against the law, and they said that they have to taltwe.
Don't be threatening to our comrades.
Yeah, so, I mean, they said that if they don't withdraw from action, the Ministry of Labor said that they threatened to outlaw all transportation workers' labor union activities.
So they have been outlawed by the state.
Yeah. And so, you know, the Korean Transportation Workers Union, not the Korean Cargo Transportation Workers Union, which is a huge, you know, confederation of a bunch of different workers unions of transportation workers. The Korean Transportation Workers Union, you know, is there's tons, you know, there's taxi drivers, bus drivers, workers on the harbor, boats, airport, you know, all of these different transportation workers unions. And the KCTWU is one part of that union, and they're trying to ban this organization, and said that they will make all transportation workers' labor activities illegal. So the KCTWU said that in Daejeon, when you know some almost 500 people, you know, some
500 people arrested.
More or less 500 people were arrested. The police raided the KCTWU's Daejeon office and arrested the office leader there. And, you know, they said that is completely consistent with the government's refusal to engage in open communication with workers. And
yeah, we're hearing, you know, news every day that, you know, all the other, like, leaders, you know, branch officials have been arrested by the police every day.
Yeah. You know, and the government is in some way communicating with these workers. They're responding to their demands. The government is responding to workers' demands with violent repression.
Yo, that's a declaration of war when you arrest our comrades, man.
And that is communication, but it is not the communication that our comrades are asking for from this government. And
that's why we're going to be on strike.
Yeah, so what the KCTW announced, you know, is that there's 1,000 transportation workers who went on strike yesterday. However,
already
today, I mean, until tomorrow, it is the last opportunity for the government, these capitalists, to engage in open communication in order to resolve these problems. And
if we don't hear anything from those motherfuckers, then we're going to be on strike.
Engage in communication, listen to these workers' demand, you know, do something to help these people out, and give them proper working conditions. And, you know, the government has not done this yet. They've only responded with arrests, threats, and violence. So into after tomorrow on the 11th of June, on Thursday the 11th of June, all the branches of the Korea Transportation Workers Union, including that includes harbor workers, taxi, bus, airport, etc.
That is
about 50,000 workers will join this general strike on Thursday. That is just 2 days later, my friends.
1 day after tomorrow, the whole nation will stop.
Yeah, we're gonna shut. You know, it's gonna get shut down. You know, so the government, these capitalists, better engage in communication and talk with these people. Find out, you know, what they need, what they want, and give them that. That is called Tujang. That is called struggle, my friends. All right. So
okay.
Yeah, that's happening. And also, you know, that's not the only strike that's going on.
Tujang is everywhere in Korea.
Oh yeah, there is other strikes going on. The Ssangyong car factory workers have been they've been on strike for how long have they been on strike?
So about 2 weeks now.
Yeah, it's been about 2 weeks since they've been on strike, and they are occupying the factory in Pyeongtaek.
Yeah.
And that was in response to the company, actually the Ssangyong car company, announced that they're going to lay off 1,000 irregular workers because.
Yeah, at first it was about like 2,000 workers, mm-hmm. you know, were going to be laid off, but then, you know, like about 1,000 workers like quit their job voluntarily, agreed the layoff plan. Mm-hmm. So they didn't, you know, get fired, but those, 1,000 workers still, you know, resisting the layoff plan. And so finally, the Ssangyong Motor Company laid off 1,000 workers as of yesterday.
Yeah, and they're doing that because, you know, according to the irregular working law that was passed a couple years ago, it gives irregular working a two-year time period. And after 2 years, these workers get to, you know, they become regular workers, and so, you know, that means the company has to pay more money and use more of their resources.
They have to double the salary,
you know, and double their salaries, you know, give them a lot more money, and that costs a lot more money, and they don't want to give.
Capitalists don't like that.
They want to maximize their profits and use cheap labor, so. The government is also collaborating with them because they're trying to extend their, you know, in this next National Assembly session, they're going to introduce a law and they're going to try to extend the irregular working time period to 4 years. And that's a major issue here in Korea. So basically, yesterday, okay, back to the Ssangyong car factory. The workers who have been occupying the factory and keeping the sit-in struggle and the strike going on, they've been occupying this factory, and there's a group of workers who are occupying the roof of the factory, and they started fasting without food or water yesterday. So they stopped drinking water, they stopped eating food, and They've been up there for about 27 days now.
Yeah, their demand is simple. You know, the company should scrap the massive layoff plan. Otherwise, they're going to continue the, strike, and then they're going to join the whole workers' general strike, you know, the day after tomorrow, and it's going to be a big snowballing problem.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be glorious, when this, you know, this huge strike, you know, going to shut down the system, and these elites, you know, this elite class, these politicians, this government, this regime, and these capitalists are going to have to bow down and give it up. Because
so please support the Yongsan struggle, the cargo transportation workers struggle, and Ssangyong workers struggle.
Yeah, these workers on the roof of the factory, they were the ones who started this strike. They've been up there for 27 days now. That's more than 2 weeks, I'm telling you. And they started the strike and the occupation, and they said that they're stopping eating, stopping drinking water. And if this layoff plan is not canceled, if this Ssangyong car company continues. You know, they lay off these 1,000 workers. They said that they are going to die. They we are going to die here if this fucking car company lays off these 1,000 workers. So
the occupation of the roof, you know, began 27 days ago, but then the workers' closed door strike began about 2 weeks ago. Anyway, let's listen to a music called Breaking the Law by Fleas and Lice.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like this song? Yeah, let's be breaking the law.
That is Fleas and Lice from Belgium. She's one of my favorite singers. All right, so we're going to move on. This is Struggle News, and today is Tuesday, June 9th. Everybody, welcome back. We're going to go on to next week's news. What's going on next week here in South Korea? You're going to find out tomorrow. That's not next week. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow on June 10th. It is the anniversary of the 1987 June 10th protest movement for democracy.
Symbolically very important.
Mm-hmm. As, you know, it's an anniversary. And there's going to be a huge cultural gathering to mourn the dead in Seoul City Plaza. Politicians and, you know, a lot of mainstream liberals and, you know, reformists and, you know, not necessarily going to be a radical, demonstration or anything or a riot or anything like that, but.
Yeah, if you don't like the current government, just be there.
But anyway.
Which dead are they mourning?
All the people that died, you know, this year, like Yongsan, you know, victims, the ex-president who committed a suicide, and a cargo worker who committed a suicide too. You know, we are mourning all the dead by the, you know, the prosecutors, the state, and the capitalists too.
Yeah, the mainstream media has really given a lot of attention to the suicide of Noh Moo-hyun, that ex-president, elite class politician, president, and he killed himself. Goodbye. And people are really mourning that and giving that a lot of attention in the mainstream news. So I imagine that there's going to be a lot of people there who are going to be there mourning and crying about Noh Moo-hyun, the ex-president. That would be like if Bill Clinton committed suicide, you know, basically. You know, there's going to be a bunch of people who are all crying about it, I guess.
Donald Rumsfeld, you go ahead and die.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Dick Cheney, too.
Yeah. Personally, I don't, you know, Noh Moo-hyun did a lot of bad things. You know, he said he was going to support the labor movement. He didn't. He brutally cracked down on that. And, I'm gonna move on because my comrade sitting here is like bugging me about that and telling me to
hurry up. We don't talk about the ex-president enough already.
All right. We already talked about it enough. The police and the Seoul Metropolitan Government said that there is a danger that the gathering will become violent and disorderly, even though it's a bunch of liberals and politicians doing it.
Oh, same bullshit again.
They are banning the gathering. They're banning it, not letting it happen. They're prohibiting it. So, there's a
nice place to be.
Yeah. So please go there.
Nothing new. There's going to be tons of police.
7 p.m. Wednesday, June 10th.
The you know
Seoul City Square.
The Seoul Metropolitan Government's probably going to dispatch another 10,000 police like usual.
But something else happening that day, right?
Yeah, something else is happening that day, and it's going to be a lot better. We're going to tell you what's going to happen.
Whole lot better.
There's going to be an art culture action festival happening here in Yongsan. There's going to be music. There's going to be at least 140 artists who are coming to participate. There's going to be poets, spoken word poetry, street theater performances. People are going to be writing up on the wall, writing some poems up on the wall. I'm going to be having a stencil graffiti workshop.
Playing music outside. It's going to be really radical action all day.
Yeah, and there's also going to be a really, really free market. Free redistribution festival. If you want something, come get it. If you want to give away something that you're not going to use and you don't want to waste it, come give it away.
This is the party that you've been waiting on for whole your life.
Oh, yeah. There's also going to be a guerrilla gardening action in the streets behind the Candlelight Media Center. We are going to smack.
I can't wait to see this shit happening.
I hope we get enough sludge hammers because we are going to bust up this street. We are going to get this concrete out of here. Get out of this concrete jungle. We are going to get this concrete out of here. We are going to fill this street up with vegetables, food, subsistence. We need these things. This is our life. This is your life. This is my life. This is everybody's lives. We got to live it.
If you're listening to this Yongsan Action Radio, please come to Yongsan Wednesday, June 10th.
Yeah.
Shin Yongsan Station, closest exit number 2. Can't miss it.
Yeah.
Walk.
Either that or just go on Hangangno. You know, you'll see all the police buses. Come back here. It's back here. You know, just walk by those police buses. You know, give them the middle finger when you're walking by.
Yeah.
Tell these police to fuck off. And then come
the
over here
stream,
to the Candlelight Media Center because this is where we're at. Don't wait for the revolution. It is not an apocalypse that's coming like Y2K. No, it's not going to happen like that.
The revolution will start tomorrow right here.
It is DIY. It is direct action. We got to do it right here, right now. And it is not something that's coming that you got to wait for. We're doing it.
Tujang!
Tujang.
Now!
Land of the radio. Radio, Yongsan, Gospel, Radio, Tugang, 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 Tugang.